Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY for Community Conversations. I'm today's host, Chris Bessler. Today we're talking about a proposed bill that's working its way through the Idaho legislature right now, and if passed, would dramatically impact the ability of regular citizens to pass an initiative in Idaho. An initiative is the method that allows voters to propose new laws by gathering signatures from registered voters to place a proposal on the ballot. Our state constitution guarantees this right to Idaho citizens. The proposed Senate Bill 1110 would change the rules for accomplishing this by increasing the requirements for gathering signatures. The current threshold to get a measure on the ballot requires the signatures of 6% of all registered voters that must be collected from at least 18 legislative districts. Senate Bill 1110 would require that the signatures be collected from 6% of registered voters in each of all 35 of the state's legislative districts. Opponents of the bill say its intent is to give more power to rural counties. But those who oppose the bill say the current standard is already very difficult to meet, and this change would make it almost impossible for citizens to get an initiative on the ballot. They also point out that even when an initiative does get included on the ballot, all voters everywhere in the state must vote in favor of it for it to pass into law. Today we talk with former Idaho Supreme Court Chief Justice Jim Jones and Luke Mayville of Reclaim Idaho, which passed the most recent initiative to get on the ballot, the Medicaid expansion. We also invited two legislators who are sponsoring the bill onto this program to speak on its behalf. Its primary sponsor, Senator Steve Vick, did not respond to multiple emails. In the House, Representative Jim Addis did get back to us, but was unable to arrange the time for our interview and did not get us a statement that we offered to include. This interview was recorded on Friday, just after Senate Bill 1110 was approved in the Senate's State Affairs Committee on a 6-3 vote. 9 people testified in favor of it and 34 testified against it. It now goes to the Senate floor for a vote. And as I'm recording this introduction on Tuesday, that's not happened yet. If it passes the Senate, it will go to the House for a vote, and then to the governor, who can either sign it or veto it. With that introduction, let's get into our talk today with former Justice Jim Jones and Reclaim Idaho's Luke Mayville. We're speaking now with Justice Jim Jones. He's the former Chief Justice of the Idaho Supreme Court and a former Attorney General. He's talking to us from Boise. Justice Jones, thank you for being with us today.
Glad to, Chris.
And we're also speaking with Luke Mayville. Luke is a graduate of Sandpoint High School, and he's a co-founder of the citizen advocacy group Reclaim Idaho, which spearheaded the Proposition 2 initiative campaign in 2018 that placed Medicaid expansion on the ballot for Idaho voters. That ultimately did pass, with 61% of Idaho voters approving Medicaid expansion. Luke, thank you for being here.
Always great to be with you, Chris. Thanks so much.
And today we're talking about a bill that's currently, as we speak, proposed in the Idaho legislature. It's Senate Bill 1110, and it would impact the state's initiative process here in Idaho. We're talking on Friday. We're going to have a little update to this that I'll add before this airs on Wednesday. But just this morning, the bill advanced out of committee in the Senate, so it's going to move to the Senate floor. This actually raises the bar for citizens to run an initiative in the state. So why don't we start there, Luke, and tell us, you know, what's involved right now with the current law in getting an initiative onto the ballot, since your group was the last to do that in, I think, about 18 years.
Well, we are speaking on Friday, February 19th, and this morning the bill was approved by the Senate State Affairs Committee. So the bill will now advance to the Senate floor. It will need to pass through the Senate floor, then it will need to pass through Idaho House of Representatives, and then it will need to be signed by the governor. Ultimately, it will probably need to survive a court challenge if it's to really take effect, and that's something that I'm really excited to hear more from Justice Jones about. So there's a lot more hurdles that this bill needs to pass. But of course, as we'll talk about more, we think that this bill is a direct threat to our constitutional rights, that it will block grassroots initiatives from making the ballot in the future. So we think it's vital that, you know, citizens do everything they do to speak up so that we can block this bill from becoming law.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's just jump into that, the question of the Constitution right now, and get Justice Jones to speak to that. Justice Jones, right now it's actually a constitutional right of Idaho citizens to pass an initiative. That is, put forward a measure that they can directly present to voters. It doesn't have to go through the legislators. So it allows for direct citizen lawmaking, I suppose you'd say. Can you give us a little bit of the history and the rationale behind this provision in the Constitution?
Yes, Chris. When the Constitution was adopted here for the state of Idaho in 1890, our founding fathers decided that all political power emanated from the people. In fact, they said in Article 1, all political power is inherent in the people. They have the right to alter, reform, or abolish the same whenever they deem it appropriate, talking about government. And they didn't do anything about it personally for about 20 years. But as part of the progressive movement, farmers were being put upon by moneyed interests, transportation, lending monopolies, and all that stuff. And so they were running the legislature through the lobbyists that they hired. The progressive movement said, let's get around that by giving the people a direct voice in the government. You know, and if you have a recalcitrant legislature, the people can step in and be a safety valve and get something done. So we adopted a couple of procedures in the Constitution. One was the people reserved themselves the right to disapprove any law that the legislature passed. That's the referendum. And they also approved a power, and it's directly out of the Constitution. The people reserve to themselves the power to propose laws and enact the same at the polls independent of the legislature. The legal voters may at any time initiate any desired legislation. So this was a safety valve where the people could get around a recalcitrant legislature and do stuff that the people wanted. And quite frankly, they didn't use it for quite a number of years. But in 1936, they said, well, we're going to take the referendum into our hands and pass the first referendum. And 2 years later, they did that with the initiative. Now, the legislature has the ability to set the procedural rules, like, you know, where do you get the signatures? How many do you have to have? But they didn't have the power to overrule the right of the people to speak. And that's what the legislature is trying to do right at this very minute.
Luke, why don't you speak to that? So this is basically, it's raising the bar. It's saying rather than getting 6% of voters to approve of an initiative in 18 legislative districts, every legislative district in the state has to have 6%. Now, the 6% number, that actually doesn't change, because the current law says that 6% of voters statewide, the aggregate number has to be met. It's just that it gives you the ability to raise that through voters in just 18 districts. Can you talk to how, you know, this is kind of a fundamental change?
Yeah, well, to give a little background, what the current rules are is you have to go to 18 different legislative districts. There's a total of 35 districts across the state. You've got to go to 18 districts, and you've got to get about 2,000 signatures in each of those districts, so a little less than 2,000. And just to put that in perspective, if you've never actually gone and tried to get these signatures, sometimes it means, you know, you go door to door, which, you know, many of us have done, including probably several hundred people in Bonner County have done this. going door to door. And sometimes you'll spend 2 hours walking door to door and you'll get about 8 or 9 signatures. Sometimes you might get 15 signatures in 2 hours. So that gives you a sense of how hard it is to actually get to 2,000 and how much work that takes. Currently, you have to do that in 18 different districts to place something on the ballot. Now, when we started our Medicaid expansion campaign back in 2017, we actually started it in Bonner County, several of us who grew up there. People told us we were crazy because they said, you can't, this 18 district requirement makes it impossible. You're not going to be able to do it. Not a single initiative had ever qualified for the ballot ever since they put the 18 district requirement in place. Not a single one. So they said, you can't do it. We thought, okay, we're going to do everything we can to build a really strong campaign. We're going to put everything we can into it. We did that. We built a statewide campaign. A number of organizations later in the game got involved too. And we barely made it. We qualified 21 districts total out of 35. So there was actually a lot of talk in the Idaho Senate about how, oh, Medicaid expansion was very popular. It would qualify. It would have succeeded under these new rules. That's false. It would have failed. If these new rules were in place, we would have only collected 21 of the districts. The new rules say that you have to collect about 2,000 signatures from all 35 districts. So Medicaid expansion would have failed, and that would mean that over 100,000 people would not have got health care. And it puts an extra exclamation on it when you consider that, 100,000 people without health care during a pandemic. In Bonner County, that's about, I think there's close to 2,500 people who are getting health care through the program. These new rules, we strongly believe would make it virtually impossible for a grassroots group that doesn't have millions of dollars to spend on a signature drive. It would make it virtually impossible to get on the ballot. One thing that's really important for people to understand is these new rules will not prevent groups with millions of dollars from getting on the ballot. So if you're a really powerful special interest group, and you really want your idea on the ballot and you have $3 million, it doesn't matter if there's 18 districts or 35 districts required. You just spend more money and hire more people. And you pay them to travel if need be, to go from district to district. You could even pay for their housing while they're doing it. But if you're trying to build a statewide grassroots, organization of volunteers, which is what I think, as Justice Jones pointed out, that's what I think was imagined by, those who created the initiative process in Idaho. They wanted ordinary citizens to have a say in their government. That's going to be impossible if this bill becomes law.
It's being sponsored by two North Idaho legislators in the Idaho Senate by Senator Steve Bick. He's in District 2, which is, and lives in Dalton Gardens just outside of Coeur d'Alene. In the Idaho House, Representative Jim Addis of District 4, also a Coeur d'Alene district, would be the sponsor. I want to say we invited both of them to take part in this call, but Senator Bick never responded to our emails, and Representative Addis has made a good effort to be on the call, but we couldn't work out the scheduling. He's indicated he'll try to get a statement to me to read, given the rationale for the bill. So we'll wait and see if that comes in, and I can append it to this broadcast. However, the question would be, so what's the purpose of the legislation? And they have written that the purpose of the legislation is to, quote, increase voter involvement and exclusivity in the voter initiative process. And I believe they contend that this will give rural voters a greater voice in the initiative process because every county has to meet this threshold now. What would your response be to that, Luke?
Well, the problem is that everybody will be able to vote on an initiative or a referendum. Everybody in every nook and cranny of the state. The signature requirement is only to get it on the ballot. Nobody has to go into the voting booth acting like an idiot and say, well, they qualified it for the ballot, I got to vote for it. We have routinely voted against things that might impact one area of the state or the other. The thing is that this will promote regionalism, you know, because any one legislative district can defeat an initiative or a referendum. And that's where maybe the lobbyists will concentrate their power in some place where people are not much inclined to support one particular idea. Let me give you a couple of examples. We would not have a lottery if you had this signature requirement. Now, the lottery initiative did pass. I told Jim Risch, who was the sponsor of the initiative, that it was unconstitutional to use the initiative for something that would amend the Constitution. He disregarded it. They passed it. The court said you can't do it. But because the lottery passed 60%, all of those people in southern Idaho who were recalcitrant to approve a lottery decided, well, maybe we better at least put it up on a constitutional amendment. But the lottery could have been easily sandbagged if it wasn't for a lesser signature requirement. We wouldn't have a right to work law because the referendum, which was presented to the people to override the governor's veto, would have been strongly opposed in like Shoshone County. Or some other county, maybe Bannock County, and it wouldn't have ever gotten on the ballot, and the right to work law would have languished and having been vetoed by the governor. So it promotes regionalism where people can sandbag a popular issue just because a few people in that legislative district don't like the idea.
Yes, and actually to your point, Justice Jones, that the initiative just gets it on the ballot, and then it has to be approved by all voters in the state. I think the same year that the Medicaid expansion passed, there was another initiative that made the ballot. It was on horse racing. Is that right, Luke?
That's right.
And that was defeated by the voters. So, I mean, that stands in the example of the fact that, okay, you can get something on the ballot, but that's by no means an insurance that's going to be passed by the voters. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I speak to this issue of, you know, the bills, the co-sponsors of the bill have claimed very falsely, I believe, that the bill would somehow empower rural voters, that would give them a voice, and they've claimed again falsely that the current rules do not give rural voters a voice. When the reality is the only successful initiative, again, in recent memory was the Medicaid expansion initiative. And, you know, people in Bonner and Boundary County will recall that the entire initiative campaign began in Bonner and Boundary counties. And, you know, is that the, you know, urban center of Idaho? I don't think anyone would say that. That's where the campaign began. The signature drive was then bolstered to success by teams of volunteer signature gatherers all over the state, including in rural communities in every region. And then most importantly of all, when it went up for a vote, it won a majority of the vote in 35 out of 44 Idaho counties. And that included dozens of rural counties. It actually won a majority of the vote. Medicaid expansion won a majority of the vote in the five, what you could say are the most rural counties, the five counties with the least population in Idaho. Medicaid expansion won a majority of the vote. So it's strange that there's this bill being proposed that would make it much harder to get something on the ballot, and it's being proposed by two people from Coeur d'Alene, which is one of the urban centers of Idaho and one of the most rapidly growing urban centers of Idaho. And they're claiming to be proposing this on behalf of rural Idahoans when there's just no evidence that rural Idahoans don't currently have a voice in the process.
You know, this also raises a question. So last year there were efforts to make the initiative process more restrictive that Governor Little actually vetoed. And now we have this effort this year. Luke, do you think this is in response to the fact that Medicaid expansion passed when legislators may have been opposed to it?
It's very hard to say what exactly motivated it. Last time, two years ago, they tried a similar bill, as you pointed out. It passed through the legislature, but then Governor Little, you know, thankfully, Governor Little vetoed that legislation. We know that the last time they put a bill forward, the payday loan industry was involved in writing the legislation and giving and supplying the main sponsor of the bill with the arguments for why we need to, you know, curtail the initiative process. We don't know how this bill was written. I would love to hear from Senator Vick or Representative Addis about, you know, how this bill was written and whose idea it was. So it's just not clear, and I don't want to speak to their motivations. But what is clear, you know, especially from 2 years ago when they tried this, there were just a lot of special interest groups, just like what Justice Jones was describing 100 years ago when, you know, all these large industries were dominating Idaho politics. It's true now. There are all these different special interest groups who have something to fear from the initiative process. So they all joined forces, and this is what happened 2 years ago. They joined forces and try to really make it extremely difficult to get something on the ballot. We're only just beginning to learn, you know, who's for and who's against the effort this time. Hopefully we'll know more in the coming days and weeks.
And the legislature likes to be the only legislative game in town. You know, they try to choke down any initiative to give the cities and counties any ability to raise taxes on their own. They want to be the people that deal with the lobbyists. You know, if the lobbyists had to go out and convince a wide swath of the Idaho population that some measure was necessary for their continued well-being, it would be a tough job. But, you know, if you just have a few legislators that you have to get on board, that makes it pretty easy, and the legislators like to have that power.
Justice Jones, this raises a question. Will this raise the bar to pass an initiative so high that it defeats the intent of the Constitution to provide citizens the rights of initiative and referendum?
I think that that's exactly what the intent of it is. You know, the legislature has the ability under the Constitution to set the procedural rules. But what they're trying to do is to make it almost impossible for the people to be able to speak out. And the people are the ones that have the right to alter, reform, or abolish the government. Well, how in the heck can they do it if they can't speak through the initiative in a reasonable fashion? So, yeah, I think it's a power grab. They don't want the people to have the power. They don't want local governments to have the power. And quite frankly, they don't want to have the governor be able to make decisions with regard to pandemic response and stuff like that. You know, they want to have all of the reins of power in their little grip.
Yeah, we're seeing that question of emergency powers play out right now. They're talking mm-hmm. about that. Well, it seems that this legislation might be subject to a court challenge that is unconstitutional if it does end up passing. Is that likely, do you think?
I think so. You know, the past attorneys general, you know, the over the hill attorney general group sent a letter to the legislature last time around and said, this is not a good piece of legislation. You're trying to restrict the initiative much more than the constitutional framers thought. And I would certainly support a lawsuit to try to attack the legislation if the bill gets through the Senate and in the House and is signed by the governor. So I think it's got some constitutional infirmities, and we'll certainly find out if it gets enacted into law.
Luke, is Reclaim Idaho, how are they involved in this proposed legislation at this point?
Well, there are hundreds of volunteers all around the state who were directly involved in Medicaid expansion, who were directly involved in our various efforts to increase funding for public education. And they're coming out in large numbers against the bill. On Friday morning, when testimony was heard by the Senate State Affairs Committee, those who showed up to testify against this bill outnumbered the proponents of the bill by 6-1 margin. And you heard from people from every region of the state, including some people coming on from Boundary and Bonner counties, and then all the way as far east as Teton County and everywhere in between. So what we're doing is just urging people to raise their voices, to speak up, because this is there's a small window of time where if we could wake up one day and, in the next few weeks and find that we don't really have the grassroots initiative process in this state anymore. And sure, we'll try to challenge it in the courts, but that's no guarantee, even though we think we have a winning argument. So we've got to do everything we can to contact, our state legislators, especially senators right now. We know, and we're very grateful that Senator Woodward actually voted against the bill 2 years ago that tried to do the same thing. Also, Senator Crabtree, who represents the part of Sagal east of Highway 95, and then he also represents counties going all the way down to, clear down to Riggins, actually.
It's District 7, yeah.
Right, District 7. And, so Senator Crabtree and Senator Woodward both, voted against the bill the last time they tried to really take away our constitutional right. So we're hoping they come out and vote against this one too. And whether, I really want to encourage people, whether you're for or against the bill, speak up and call your senators and let them know what you think. We also think it's very important that people hear from the that people speak out, and that the governor hears from you, that Governor Little hears from you on this issue. And we've created a, I'm very sorry about that. We have created a petition online that you can find at reclaimidaho.org/veto that's urging the governor to step up again, just as he did 2 years ago, and if necessary, veto this legislation if it goes that far. So we're just encouraging everyone, reach out to your legislators, reach out to the governor's office, get engaged in the discussion, because, there aren't many issues that are more important than our most basic constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, they can monitor this legislation. It's going to come up onto the Senate floor for all the Senate to vote on. And we're not sure when that's going to be if we're recording this right now on Friday. After the Senate votes on it, if the Senate does pass it, it then has to go to the House. Is that correct?
That's correct. It will have to go through the House State Affairs Committee. And one thing people in, Bonner and Boundary counties should be aware of is that Representative Heather Scott belongs to the House State Affairs Committee. And Representative Heather Scott, just like Senator Woodward and Senator Crabtree. Representative Heather Scott actually was against the last attempt to really curtail our initiative rights. So we are very much hoping that she's again willing to take a strong position on that. But again, either way, no matter how you feel about this issue, get in touch with Representative Scott, with Representative Dixon, all of your legislators, and let them know what you think.
Okay. And a way to monitor the status of that bill is to go to the state legislative website, which is at legislature.idaho.gov. And once you're there, you can type in the bill number. It's Senate Bill 1110, SB 1110. And you can track the progress of it there. It's actually a very useful website that you can stay up to date on all the legislation that's before the legislature. Are they allowing testimony via Zoom or remotely? Can one of you guys know?
I do believe that there will be another opportunity for remote testimony over Zoom once the bill gets taken up by the House of Representatives. We don't have a date for that yet, but if you can monitor the progress of things by going to the webpage that Chris, you just mentioned, look out for the date of public testimony in the House of Representatives, and you'll be able to, you may very well be able to testify remotely for that.
Okay. Okay, well, we're going to wrap up here in just a minute or two, but Justice Jones and Luke Mayville, anything you guys would like to add to the conversation?
You know, one of the things that the legislators who are supporting this say is, well, we got to get input from all over the state, but when they put in a bill in the legislature, they don't have to have anybody supporting them from any part of the state. So I think they're putting themselves on a better platform than they're putting the people. You know, they kind of have the idea that the people aren't smart enough to be able to discern what's a good piece of legislation and what's not. You know, if they're not willing to trust the people on voting for initiatives, maybe the people shouldn't be able to vote them into office.
Maybe they're afraid the people are too smart on what good legislation and not. So, Luke, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I'd just add that this bill, if it becomes law, would be a pretty sweeping change to our Constitution. And what we've said is that if Senator Vick or any other legislators want to make such a sweeping change to our basic constitutional rights, they should be willing to do it the right way. They should be willing to propose a constitutional amendment and put their proposal up for a public vote. Because if we're going to discuss such a significant change to our Constitution, the discussion shouldn't just take place in a few, you know, Senate state affairs hearings that are scheduled early in the morning on weekdays when most people are working. That discussion should be a public discussion. It should happen at community gatherings and radio programs like this one and public debates and town hall events in every community in Idaho. That's the kind of discussion that an issue of such vital importance deserves. Of course, it's likely that they're not willing to have that discussion because they know that if they put their proposal up for a vote by the public, it would lose, and it would lose by a wide margin. But that's even better reason for, you know, this bill to be killed. It's all the better reason for our legislators to vote no on this bill and for all of us to get involved as citizens in speaking up and urging our legislators, urging our governor to oppose Senate Bill 1110.
Well, Luke Mayville of Reclaim Idaho, thank you for taking time to talk with us this morning. And Justice Jim Jones, former Chief Justice of the Idaho Supreme Court, thank you for taking time.
Sure enough, glad to.
Thank you so much, Chris. Take care.
That's it for our talk today. If you've just tuned in, this is Community Conversations, and we've been speaking with former Idaho Supreme Court Chief Justice Jim Jones and Reclaim Idaho co-founder Luke Mayville about Senate Bill 1110, which would raise requirements for citizen initiatives in Idaho. If you missed part of the show, you can hear the recorded podcast on our website at www.krfy.org and click to the podcast page. Community Conversations airs again tomorrow with a talk about live broadcasting that, after a hiatus due to coronavirus precautions these past several months, is beginning anew on KRFY. We hope you can tune in. Thanks for listening today.